Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. A massive weekend of football coming up. There's some great games going on, some pressure games, particularly for the Dogs. And as always, we've got three of the best football minds in the business. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, and also Kane Corns. Where did the skateboard, you parked that somewhere?
Well, last week they said our shirts were too similar.
Right.
So there's no way.
So you're going back to 1994.
There's no way Brownie would be cool enough to wear a shirt this good.
Yeah. I feel like a Kurt Cobain with the flannel open with the t-shirt, dude.
You got the mullet going.
Marion Shopping Centre.
All right, let's have a look at the premiership market because the Giants are flying at the moment. The Sydney Swans are flying as well. And the Greater Western Sydney are the favourites. Look at Collingwood. They've dipped. They were the favourite, as you'd expect. I'm not sure why people are dropping off them in huge numbers. I mean, they played two very good sides and they're still $9. I'm still keen on the Pies. I think they go deep.
Yeah, well, tonight's going to be important, isn't it, for them? So we'll see. But a bit of value for your old mob, Geelong, who looked good, pretty good in round one. I think they're still capable of winning the premiership. At $18, there's some value there.
Big movers in the Brownlow medal. Matty Rowell has been backed off the mat. 51 before opening round into 9. And Clayton Oliver down the bottom there has been a little bit of a mover. The other mover I want to talk about has been Isaac Heaney. Yeah. So before he played that opening round, $251, he's into 21. So a massive go. And I think I've watched both games. I think he's got 6 votes. Maybe 5, but I think his 2 games have been outstanding.
Yeah, I think he'd have at the absolute minimum 5 votes. I'm surprised to not see him on that leaderboard there. Yeah. But I think if he keeps bringing out performances the way he has the first 2 rounds, he will absolutely come in to a very short price.
Tassie Devils are launched during the week and it was to much fanfare. And I tell you what, this man to my right thinks he is an honorary Tasmanian. He played down there so long. He said to me off air, he goes, I just feel at one with the Tasmanian people. So when we talk about Tasmania, I want you to come to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure they were the worst, but I'm a big fan of what's happening in Tassie. And watching it the other night, I was a little bit jealous sitting back thinking, oh, I'm a country New South Wales boy. I'd love to be just a part of the feels that are going on at the moment. And I think Jack Riewoldt and the team have done a great job at bringing the state together. And hopefully there's been a North-South rivalry. Hopefully this brings the state together. I was fortunate enough, as you said, to play 10 years of footy down there. It's a great state, great people. And I can't see how it won't be a success.
So they're going to get the big names because the checks will be that big that they will go there. But if you're a youngster who's going to get drafted and you're a Victorian or you're from Perth, are you flat if you're going to go live in Tassie and play there? Windy place, off Broadway. I don't think they'll be that thrilled, the young draftees, to go and play in Tassie, but that's the way I see it.
Some people had to go to Adelaide back
then. Yeah, well, exactly. But there's a bit more happening in Adelaide and there's a bit more going on.
Were they there to play football or were they there to go to the nightclubs?
Well, they're there to play football, Brownie, but we've seen players, many of them, go home from Greater Western Sydney. So it's probably comparable to the west of Sydney. It's not the desired place for a draftee to go and play. So that may be a struggle for them just to retain their players.
I think that's an advantage for them with how the freedom around lists are occurring and player movement. That you get a player in, you draft him high, a bit like what Melbourne did with Jackson. They probably knew he was going to go home at some point, and then they get the advantage 3, 4, 5 years down the track. But as a young person who spent a lot of time down in Tassie, I would see nothing but good coming from it. I think if you're a young guy on good money living in Tassie, the world's your oyster.
And I'm just going to put my hand up now. I would love to be the first coach of their AFLW team. I reckon that would be amazing.
Is that why you've gone green today?
Absolutely. Or? Yeah, the Tassie Devils. Yeah. But I think I just love
so
what they're
going
to do.
There?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to take that opportunity.
I'm happy to get that campaign going. Yeah. You're doing outstanding.
Have you been to Hobart?
Yeah, a couple of times. Tagged you there a couple of times.
Hey, what a loss.
All right, let's get into the first game. Thursday night footy, St Kilda taking on Collingwood. What a big game this is in round 2. The Pies are 0-2 with Brisbane in Brisbane. After that, there's been a few write them off. Well, not write them off, but say where are they at? I think you might have been one of those, Kane. But they have played 2 very good sides in the first 2 weeks. I do like the inclusion for St Kilda, though. Pace, you've got Zach Jones coming in. Yep. You've also got Sinclair. I like the fact that Liam Henry's on the other wing, so they're trying to burn them with speed.
So 2 schools of thought. They're just off and they're just fractionally off, which I think is fair, and that's fair criticism. Or they're a year older, they don't have the depth in their list, and then there's serious worry. So if it's the latter, then you're really concerned. For me right now, I just think it's the former. I think they're just a little bit off defensively. I think some of their better players are down on form. And they can rediscover that, and I think they will.
And with the better players being down on form, they were down 47 points with scores from intercept possessions last week, and a lot of that was pure skill errors. Some of the kicks that they were either taking weren't on, or they just completely shanked a kick, which opened the door and got scored against at will. So I think we were talking about it earlier. A lot of those times where you see the players sort of take that 50-50, or I'll hedge my bets, we're going to win this ball and I'll be in a great spot to attack, those kicks aren't coming off, then they're not able to defend and then just leaking so many points on turnover.
I looked at their leaders as well. So four of their leaders, their whole leadership group is in the back line and they're down on form. So Moore's the captain, down on form. Maynard's down on form. Quayner's down on form. And Howe's just come back in the side, down on form. So I'm looking for the response to start with the leaders who have been voted in at Collingwood, and they've just got to play better.
I'm pretty keen on Max King this week. They're a bit disorganised behind the footy at the moment, Collingwood. I expect them to tighten up a bit. But Max King, for me, looms large. I love the way he played last week. He took a lot of marks up the ground, contested, so I'd love to see him play closer to goal. And I think 2+ for Max, that's my starting point. These are his last 5 games, so towards the end of last season. He's growing as a footballer, and I just think he hits Collingwood at a pretty good time with the pace on the outside and the width of the MCG.
Yeah, I loved how, with memory coming back in, they played him a little bit deeper and got King up the ground. He's such a big guy, such a big presence. He uses the ball really well for a big guy as well, makes good decisions. The only thing is they play with so much speed on their ball movement, and I think the way Collingwood press and leave their player, sometimes it's a little bit easier to defend if there's so much speed on the ball and if they don't change angles. So yeah, King hopefully rips the game apart. It'd be great to see him have a big game in a big game with Spud's game on a Thursday night, but I feel like Collingwood's defence may have got a couple of rockets this week and they'll come out pretty fired up.
We've got some good rockets too. Kate, I want to ask you about St Kilda's midfield. So last week, all their big numbers were defenders, Wanganeen, Miller, Bonner. So they're all their defenders. Hardly any of their midfielders touched the ball. Jack Steele had 25. Outside that, look at that. They're the other midfielders. Brad Crouch made way. Brad Hill, Sebastian Ross need to be better than that. It's a bit weird to call him Sebastian. But if they are to beat the Pies, I mean, a lot of these guys need to be getting mid-20s.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were looking for that run and guns. They were looking to get their ball in the hands of Liam Henry, of Brad Hill. They were playing a real outside game. They were conceding the clearance and then trying to slingshot off half back. So I don't think you can't do that against good teams. I know Geelong, they had so many inside 50s and just didn't quite kick straight, and some of their forwards didn't fire, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But I agree, they need to get their hands on the footy first, then go from there, rather than relying on turning it over at half back, running and carrying it up the field.
Only the 42 inside 50, so if you don't win it in the midfield, Jack Sinclair comes back in, where do you play him?
Yeah, he'll play sort of that defensive role. Riley Bonner, I think, filled his role, so I think we'd likely see less numbers for him. He had 28 with 600 metres gained. I think he'll sort of play a different role with Sinks coming back in.
Sinks. But Sinks. Sebastian and Sinks.
The way that they used their... So they rotated... It was Hill and Henry and then Bonner on one sort of side of the ground, and they'd start in all different places in the centre bounce and end up in a different position. Then they'd look to use the three of them chaining the ball up the field. So interesting what Ross has gone with in that. Different lineups to just move in different areas, but it's clear what they're trying to do.
Best job in football, Macca, is that halfback that just comes up and plays as an on-baller.
Pretty funny.
So Dacos, it's unbelievable. Traditionally, you play as a halfback. They actually have to play on someone. They don't. Yeah. They start across the back and then they just go and play as an extra midfielder. Hopefully he can do that, because they've got to generate more entries, they've got to score more, and they want Sinclair kicking the ball inside 50.
Geez, the social media crews at footy clubs are trying to get funny these days, aren't they? We saw the Giants try and be funny. There's a few that have dabbled in the area. And you've received a drive-by during the week. The Saints have wound this back. I think they didn't like the aggression that came back across the bow on this one. But listen to 49 Kane Corn opinions.
Well, they're big fans of In the Back Pocket, clearly. They watch the show there, because I've given about 49 opinions. But if you're going to do that, and if you're going to play in this space, be funny and be prepared to cop the backlash. That tweet was neither.
Yeah. Same game, Moldy.
Yeah, so I've gone with a couple of anytime goal scorers. So Brodie Mijacek, anytime. Tim Membry, I thought he was really good last week. And further to your point, Isaac, I just love the combination. When Max King and Tim Membry are in the same forward line, they work so well together. So I reckon he'll kick a goal anytime. Wanganeen Miller, 20+.
7 kickouts last week. 7 times he played on.
There we go. He only has to get 13 more then, doesn't he? So, and then Lipinski, I've gone 15+. So not a whole lot of value in it, but I think that they're pretty good bets for what we can expect to happen on tonight.
Quick tip.
St Kilda.
Collingwood.
The Pies to bounce back.
Pies in a close one, but this is a 50-50 game for me. That is that game, another massive one in Adelaide. Tomorrow night is the Crows up against the Cats. We'll look at that next. Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket, a show where we try to find you a winner and go in depth on the knowledge of AFL. Kane Corns, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith, I'm Nathan Brown. So let's talk about the Friday night clash. Geelong up against Adelaide. Now, I want to speak about Adelaide first, how good they are at home compared to away, because they've started poorly, as we know. But have a look at that. That's last year, 9 wins and 4 losses. When you take into consideration, they butchered a game, well, not a game against Sydney, but they should have won the game against Sydney because the goal was disallowed. They butchered a game against the Tigers at home where they kicked so many points and should have won. And then they gave up a winning position against Collingwood. So that could quite easily be 12-1 at home, 2-8 away. They are clearly a 4-5 goal better side in Adelaide.
They are a fascinating team, Adelaide. They also lost 5 games by under 10 points last year. So you factor that in. They play a really honest brand of football, but they were poor last week. It was really disappointing with the way they started. I didn't think the attitude of the players was there in tough conditions. And then when the rain came, yep, they came back. And I thought Rochelli lit the spark for them, and he was really impressive. But as you said, they're a completely different proposition at home. My only concern is about their key defenders, with Murray out with the ACL. Butts is a bit sluggish, but he's a good matchup for Tom Hawkins. Other than that, they're pretty young. Borlase, Michelini, Worrell and players like that.
2-year extension to Matty Nix, you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I really like what Adelaide have done. I think they probably overachieved a little bit last year. I don't think they're in the premiership hunt at all, especially with, you just mentioned, their back line. They got 4 of their defenders are under 50 games, and they just can't compete. Geelong go there this week. Geelong's forward line is far superior to their back line. So I really like the direction they're going in, the young talent they've got.
Why extend him now? Well, what's the is it just the pressure? Is it just the optics of it? Is it just like Fremantle, so the players are asked about it all the time?
I just think you just kill any conversation now, especially with a 2-year deal. And I think they're pretty confident they've got their man. It'll be just how, and they know that they're not in the premiership window right now either. So
I don't know about, they should be. Imagine if the Hawks had said that in 2008. Like
they shouldn't be, though.
Year 5 of a rebuild, they've got a strong captain, they've recruited heavily, they've got enough veterans, they've got a good key forward. Walker kicked 70 goals last year. I don't think you put limits on yourself.
You don't put limits, but they've put protections in. So you sign the coach, you kill any conversation, you stick to your path. You can't tell me that their defence can hold up against the best forward lines.
Well, when Murray comes back and they get some personnel back, I think it can. I just don't think they needed to jump right now on Nix. I would have been more comfortable at the halfway point of the year. No one's stealing Matthew Nix. Make the call halfway through the year. You didn't need to do it now.
But you do it, like, if you're going to make it halfway through the year, or you do it now.
Well, because just... what if they're 2-10? What if they're, you know, 2-10? If they're 2-10, are you still signing him at the halfway? At least you got more information.
You know, love, you two couldn't be further in from the spectrum. You love positivity and you love negativity.
No, I'm just sceptical that you just don't need to rush into signing coaches.
But the thing is with coaches' clause, and you heard Longmuir talk about it this week, is that it doesn't matter what you sign as a coach. Most of them only got a 3 to 6 month payout anyway.
Which is the dumbest rule in football.
It's the silliest. If you sign someone, you pay the contract out, and that's what it should be. But it's irrelevant now. You can sign them for 5 years. You kill the conversation. You sack them in 2. You only pay them out
that
for 6 months.
That
all right. Well, we can't just keep up talking about Matty Nix. So, we've got a new segment on here, and we're going to have a stinger for it next week. But this is Kate Rates. This is an idea you've come up with. So I'm looking forward to when anybody brings a new idea to the table, it needs to work.
Interest rates or?
No, I can't own a house. So we're only talking interest rates.
Kate Rates.
So to start with, I rate the centre square showdown, I think, between these two teams. We've talked a lot about forward line, a lot about back line, but I'm really excited to see the centre square showdown. So Geelong dominated centre clearances against St Kilda, dominated inside 50s, didn't translate to goals, but got 14 points from their 12 centre clearance, which is above league average. So really excited for that. They need to stop the likes of Patrick Dangerfield. I think we just saw on last week against St Kilda, when he needs to stand up in a centre bounce, he just does it year on year. It's every other team that he plays against need to be aware. If there's a big centre clearance, stand next to Paddy Dangerfield and try and stop him from getting it, because his acceleration, he's still so explosive at his age, gets the ball out, gets genuine centre clearances, and with 6-6-6 rule, if you can get a really good centre clearance to advantage, it translates
so
to a goal.
So you think the Cats have got the edge in the centre bounce?
I think they do, yeah. I think with their experience and just that need to, when they need to get a really vital clearance, the Cats tend to get it.
Disposal-wise, Adelaide will have all the numbers. So there'll be big numbers. Paddy Dangerfield might have 21, 22 homes, about the same. But
Bruins
you'd expect
same.
Big numbers from Rory Laird, who played a little bit inside and outside. You've obviously got Dawson and also Matty Crouch. But that's Rory Laird's last 8 games. So he had 30. Didn't think he played that well last week, but he still had 30 disposals.
And sometimes he just does it without you even really noticing him, which I guess isn't a compliment, but he's strong in clearance, strong in tackle, and gets huge numbers. You'd expect him to do that on Friday night.
Is the goal of the year already won by Jeremy Cameron last week?
Wouldn't go that far to say the goal of the year already won. I think if you look at GMHBA, we were talking about
it. Well, this guy
before.
Said it was no good off air, didn't you?
I didn't say
you
it was
played
no good
it
at
down.
All. I didn't say it was no good you at all. What I said down. Is it's not goal of the year. I love Jezza. He's one of my great mates. And he did what every good forward does. He got the ball on centre wing. He missed the kick on the 50-metre arc.
Which made
so
it
Brad Close had to give the handball back to him. That is one of the oldest tricks in the book. And he's on the right side for him, how he kicks the ball. That's where the players' change room in the race is. And he put it through. It is not goal of the year.
Just on him, though, he plays well in Adelaide. And as we said before, I just don't think Adelaide have a natural matchup for him. Big ask for Michael Ainey or a Borlase, and Jeremy Cameron could have a big night.
Well, I am glad you said that, Kane, because the next thing on Kate's rates is the forward spread. How does the defence from Adelaide cope against the forwards that you've got? And we talked about the inside 50s last week. 63 inside 50s for a return of 10 goals, 16. You don't normally see that from Geelong. But only two forwards really fired for them. Dempsey kicked 3. It was his big occasion, rising star nomination. Cameron got up the ground, 2 goals, 21 touches. I love when he plays higher up. But Hawkins, Henry, Stengel, they were pretty quiet. Hawkins and Henry kicked a goal each. Stengel, that's the first time he's ever been goalless at GMHBA. So I reckon those three are really going to have a big game this weekend, and it could be, a pretty dangerous sign for the Adelaide defence.
Like you're leaning towards the Cats.
I am. Mm. I am leaning towards the Cats. I think I've been pretty big on them this year. I think they're going to make the top 8 again and go back to finals. And I think, I think they're a really good chance in this game.
All right, same game, Moldy. I've gone all Adelaide midfielders. So I think they stat up. Crouch, Laird, Dawson and Rochelle looked sharp last week. Kicked 3 too late, but I think that he can get in under the guards of Geelong, so I like Rochelle for a goal this week. Okay, so that's that game, Geelong up against Adelaide. Next one is North Melbourne against Fremantle. You might remember, North Melbourne beat Fremantle in this corresponding game last year. Alistair Clarkson was down on the bench hugging everybody, just making himself a nice guy. You love him, don't you, Alistair? Hey, you would. What I will say is you'd love to play for him, but when you're against him, it's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. Clarko, he'll galvanise that team. I know there was that incident with Webster, but he certainly would have galvanised his players from that incident. I really like what he's doing. They've got great talent. I love what he's doing with their midfield.
What do you like about what he's doing? Well, what could you possibly... What have you seen? I know he's your mate, and I know he's an Australian football legend. I get it. What have you seen that you love that he's doing?
Well, I'll tell you what I've seen.
Apart from getting elite draft picks.
Yeah, well, they got elite draft picks. But he's starting to build a team that you can look at with the elite draft picks to say they're going to be able to compete in years to come. What they did with Sheasel, I loved what they did there. They signed him until 2030, and that's Clarko's way. He'd be saying, well, he's going to be one of my men now, and we're going to build the club, not necessarily around him, but we're going to show that he's loyal to the club, so now we can then sign this guy, that guy, that guy, and we bring in, they'll be looking to get a free agent or two because they've now shored up one of their stars. He's building a team and he's building a culture where players will want to be, and that's what I like. I don't necessarily care what they're actually doing on the field at the moment because they are that far away from winning anything.
Hey, Brownie, I'll tell you what they need to do, and that's shore up the defence.
Yep.
And that's not going to happen this year. So with the Giants forwards, they got Hogan, they got Brown, they got Cadman, they got Toby Green.
I'm looking for Amos this week. I think he kicks goals this week. I think he is going to be an absolute ripping player.
I just got confused and thought they were playing the Giants for a minute then, didn't I?
That's okay. Three plus, four plus. This is what they did last week. Amos kicked four, Tracy kicked three, Luke Jackson forward and also in the ruck, kicked a couple.
His four goals, though, six disposals for that.
Yep.
So if he can get more of a return from that, that is insane. Six touches, four goals. Get the ball into him more.
Does not miss. He's going to be a very good player. If he can hold up Fremantle, do you think, just quickly, we're going to go to a break. Can they make the finals?
Not sure I trust them enough yet.
Who are you tipping in this game?
Fremantle.
Fremantle.
Fremantle. So no one can think North can score an upset, even with your great Alistair Clarkson at the helm.
I like what they're doing, but just not yet.
Kane was going to ask, what do you like? What they're doing? It's going to be a good game. Okay, we're going to head to a break. Plenty more to come on In the Back Pocket. Welcome to In the Back Pocket. Some pretty good games on the Saturday. And the first one up is going to be Hawthorn up against Melbourne. Hawks are okay last week. The Demons were outstanding. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, Kane Corns. The Hawks, do you still have a soft spot or is it a cat man now?
I have a soft spot for both of them. The beauty is if one's up, I get to follow them. If one's down, I don't have to care. No.
Do you like what they're doing?
I like what they're doing. I don't think they've got the talent on the list and they've got some holes. But I really like the way Mitch is developing the game plan. And you know, they had opportunities to score on the weekend. Are they a good enough side to be winning lots of games this year? No. But I think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I like. I really like their small forwards. We've spoken about this on this program before, but I think Sam's coaching allows them to play with a bit more freedom. So you see Ginneman getting nine touches in the first quarter last week and a goal or two, and he sets a couple up. Bruce, I know you're a big fan of. Dylan Moore had 3 and 17 last week again. And they play with that freedom where if you can't touch it as a half forward, and you know better than anyone, it's pretty lonely. Yeah. So get up the ground, get the footy in your hands, feel good about yourself, and then go back and hit the scoreboard. And they've got three or four of them that are pretty dangerous.
30 degrees with long sleeves, a bit strange though from Jack Ginnivan. Max Gawn come up against the best ruckman in the competition. I think they're both the two best ruckmen in the competition, but I thought he destroyed Tim English.
Yeah, well, let's ask Kane about Max Gawn. Put him on notice, wasn't he?
I've got a good strike rate, and wait for who's on notice this week. But no, I thought he came back really strongly, albeit the Western Bulldogs put no time into him. So if you are Hawthorn, you know Max Gawn is susceptible to the physicality. We spoke about it last week. The Western Bulldogs allowed him just to roam free, tap it, get 26. I don't know who it is from the Hawks, but there has to be a target on Max Gawn because when he's been targeted physically, he's performed poorly.
Is Sicily getting to a point where if you target him, he could lose his cool? I know he's a captain, he's a great player, but lost his cool again last week. It's not the first time. Do Melbourne go after him? And conversely, McGuinness went to Clayton Oliver last year, tagged him. Do they go after him again?
Well, it'd be silly not to go after Sicily and try and fire him up. One, it can get him off his game. Two, he might do something silly, and that's for Sis to try and control. He is their best player, and he's their most influential player. I think last year when he didn't play, they got absolutely smacked. When he played, they were more likely to win. So you'd be silly not to do that. McGuinness, whether he goes to Oliver or not, I think Gawn's the one. And Gawn is the one, when Melbourne won the flag, in that prelim, he kicked 5 goals. He was the most influential player in that final series. When Melbourne play well, Gawn plays well. Oliver can play well, whether Melbourne are good or bad. So I'd be targeting Gawn with a watch on Petrarca or Oliver.
Got tagged last year, didn't he?
He did. And if Finn McGuinness isn't tagging, he's not playing for me. There's no point having him as a sub.
And just with Sicily, I think, like, I know he's that kind of player. Puts it on the line. Great player, great competitor. But he's their best player. He's their captain. You can't really have your captain and your best player missing 2 out of every 8 to 10 games being suspended. I know he goes about it in a unique way, in a way that probably benefits the way he plays, but I just think if that's your captain, it is your best player, that needs to really be reflected upon at the club, and someone needs to talk to him about how can we manage this, how can we put some things in place so that every 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're not without you.
Brownie, you loved him for 25 plus last year. You almost had him every week. You only had 11. Are you concerned his numbers are going to drop if they keep tagging him?
Well, if he does get tagged, there's no way you can get 25 plus disposals. Most players who get tagged these days, because taggers don't, it's not that often that it happens. So you don't work your way through it week after week and learn how to do it. But I tell you what, they are both high possession sides. So I'm thinking Warple. I am thinking, who else? Jai Newcombe. I'm going to step around Oliver because of that tag, but there's certainly a lot of players. Judd McVie, I like the way he's playing. But Bailey Fritsch, I've never seen him play as poor as what he did last week. But they are so depleted down back, the Hawks, that somebody is going to get a hold of him. Is it Van Rooyen or is it Bailey Fritsch? And I just think he's going to be so smart this week that it is Bailey time.
Well, it was interesting. If someone said to me last week that Melbourne would win without Bailey Fritsch kicking a goal, I would have fallen over. But it was great they could find other avenues to go, and I think that'll just be too much for Hawthorn in the end.
All right, Sydney up against Essendon, and Sydney are flying at the moment. They're second favourite for the premiership outside the Giants. They've got the Bombers. They play at home. Heaney and Perkins, so let's talk about them. Both have gone into the centre square. I love Heaney in there. McInerney's gone in there as well. There's a couple of players, Warner, but Heaney's been the main one that has changed. And I think it's going to keep Taylor Adams out of that side.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So I think Parker comes back, but he can play more forward than what Adams can. And Mills is the captain, but he can go wing, he can go half back. So Heaney has to stay. And on the flip side, Perkins has to stay. I think it's the new era of the Essendon midfield. So there's Heaney's average. We've seen what he's done in the first couple of weeks. You mentioned his Brownlow odds. And
251
that's why.
Into 21.
That's why, because they're not big disposal numbers, but they're big impact numbers. Same with this guy. So Essendon kicked 10 stoppage goals last week, and it was largely due to that. So it's not the 35s and 38s that we see with some of the midfielders, but look at the score involvements, look at the goals. He has to stay on board. If that means pushing Parrish out to half forward or perhaps to a wing, then that's what the future of the Essendon Footy Club needs.
Well, let's talk about the Lizard, because he grows an extra tail when he plays at the SCG, the Lizard. So this is the back end of last year. So for some reason, he just sings with him at the SCG, and he runs through the middle, either he's playing on a tall or a small. I love the Lizard.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say, really, because every week that I do media now, since I've stopped playing, I talk about how good this kid is. He can play on the biggest forward. He'd have to be 195 centimetres. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's their best ball user with Goulden. He is everything Sydney need. And when he's playing well, especially at the SCG, round zero, I think we're calling it, he turned the game. And yeah, he's their most influential player.
And you can be forgiven for thinking halfback, he lines up there. So similar to what we were talking about earlier, no opponent, runs off, does what he pleases. But he takes care of his opponent. Then he runs off, but then he's such a beautiful kick inside 50. He's the last one you want having the footy in the chain before it gets delivered to a forward. And I just love the guy. I think he's one of the best players in the comp purely because he does all of those things. He doesn't get cheap posies. He works hard and delivers the ball beautifully.
Same game multi for you, Isaac.
Yeah, I've got Sydney win. I've been on Papley each week. So I got him for 2+. If he doesn't do that, he's out. And Goulden, 25+ disposal. He's been a little bit quiet, but I think Sydney will look to get him into the game now.
And Errol, so their new forwards are making their mark. Logan kicked 4 last week. Marty was subbed out, but he was marking everything when he was there. Johnny Longmire had some interesting things to say about the back of Buddy Franklin.
We hadn't had enough of Lance. He was a super player for us, and I personally had a great relationship with him, so which I'll always treasure. And his ability to be able to contribute to our footy club on and off the field was absolutely significant.
So he was asked, are you happy to see the back of Buddy? I mean, for a player, it was a disrespectful question, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, that was a report this week from Tom Morris, I think. But look, it was time. I thought he went 1 year too long, Buddy, at Hawthorn. So now it's got to be Logan McDonald. They have to keep this kid, and he needed some fresh air, and he plays better without Buddy Franklin. And then McLean, your man, needs to play well. He's a backup ruckman, and Amati, I'm still not sure about. So the one question on Sydney is, are their key forwards strong enough to hold up for the year and in big games in finals? So far, yes. But there's a long way to go.
Yeah, I can't say off a sample size of 2 games. You can say whether or not they're better without one of the best key forwards in the game. So, Kate Rates, I'm just going to keep sprinkling this in every segment that I can, because, you know, the more you push the more you push it on people, the more
they're
going to
agree. We're glad you to do it again, which is good. We're going to get a stinger for it as well.
Yeah, that's it. So, Kate Rates, you know what I rate? This man here, but Fun Kane. We don't see it often. We've had a little bit of an insight to it this week.
Is there a Fun Kane?
There is. Just wait and see. There is a Fun Kane coming up right now.
What are you?
A sandwich.
No, you're brown bread.
You rated that.
I tell you what.
You rated that.
Get him on the comedy channel.
Well, you can talk. At least I got some speaking lines.
You Ryan Fitzgerald of the competition,
eh? Did you set that up just so that you could have your arm up like that so you could get a bicep shot?
Absolutely.
Is that up to you?
He does have a fun side. You've enjoyed that part of it.
Actually, the team here are so creative and they come up with brilliant ideas. How could you say no to that? But I'll still give you my hard-hitting stuff, and that is that Essendon's a really important game for them on a Friday night. 30.5 points the punters are giving them, so there's not a lot of faith in them. Can they hold up against really good sides, and can they push for a
Let's go back to fun, Kane, for a minute. Like, does your wife ever worry about how much aggression comes to you on social media?
She's not on it, so she doesn't see it.
Just quickly, though, getting away from Kane into you, there's a lizard reference.
Yep.
There's a Steve Irwin shirt. Is there something you're not telling us?
I've just been in the garden a lot, you know? It's just, you don't like this one?
It's all right.
Well, I think it's sharp.
Stevie J had a go at this shirt last year, and do you see him on this panel?
Yeah, wow. You're a bit of a reptile.
quick tip, Sydney or Essendon?
Sydney.
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 It's been a massive game of Saturday games. Stick around, plenty more to come on In the Back Pocket. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket. There's some massive games on Sunday. No more bigger than the Western Bulldogs. They are right under the pump. But a new segment we have before we get into that game is around Isaac Smith. No mates in the media. He's joined the media. He's realised that you just got to torch everyone you possibly can and just climb up that wall. There was a big fight during the week between Mark Howard and Liam Pickering. Did you see that? Made the papers during the week?
I did have a little read.
Okay, so let's go. These are the questions we asked Isaac Smith. Would you drop one of your flags, he won four of them, for a Brownlow medal?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Nah.
Oh, if you won four, would you get a Brownlow?
I think that was the popular answer that he thought people wanted to hear, but you'd have to think about it for longer than 2 seconds, wouldn't you?
Nah. You play footy to play in a team and to win premierships. That's why I played football.
All right, the Joel Selwood stand. There's sitting and standing room. Sitting or standing at the footy, do you like it better?
I think I'm a standing fan. I really enjoy going to the footy, like it's a country football atmosphere. You can lean on the Ablett Terrace there, and they've got about 3,000 or 4,000 standing area, and you can have a nice cold beer and enjoy the game.
The Carlton Footy Club 2-0, they come up with a bye. Is it a bad time for them?
I think a great time. Imagine being able to start the season 2-0, have a bye, reset, train a couple of things that you're not happy with, because Carlton certainly aren't flying at the moment. But you're still sitting 2-0 and on top of the ladder.
If you were Tom Hawkins, would have you retired last year, or has he made the right decision to go on one more year?
I think that'll be seen if Geelong can make a push to the grand final. If they can make a push to the grand final, certainly go on the extra year. If Geelong peter out, then I think that last year would have been the time.
Any other players thought they could have been the Joel Selwood stand? Is there anyone a little bit upset about it?
Oh, I'm not sure if anyone's upset. Who could you? The Ablett, I guess, they're big names down there. The Hawkins, they're three generations down there. But unbelievable honour for Joel, and great to see.
Western Bulldogs at Mars Stadium in Ballarat up against the Gold Coast Suns. And this is going to be a ripping game. Gold Coast flying, as we know. The Dogs started so well last week, but so much on this for the Western Bulldogs.
So much
if they lose this, the pressure just builds on your man.
Building on Luke Beveridge, who probably went on too long. I've been pretty strong on that. I thought a fresh start at the Western Bulldogs would have been beneficial. So they need to come up with a way of, okay, he's the coach, but how is he going to get this group to defend? Because they don't want to defend. 129 uncontested marks Melbourne took. They concede consecutive goals more so than basically any other side other than North and West Coast. So there's two issues there. Selection is always fascinating with Luke Beveridge, but they need to turn up because Gold Coast right now have the best midfield in the comp. They are stacked with midfielders who are in form. Miller, Anderson, Rao, Flanders, Humphrey. The names just roll off. Witts as well, Led. So it's not going to be easy for them in Ballarat, though. That gives them the edge.
Let's listen to Bevo before we get Kate's thoughts on Aaron Norton.
I mean, at that point in time, he was one of probably a handful that that could have come off for the experience and stability in the team. Riley's going really well. He's going to be a tremendous player for the club. He's still learning, but he was the one. And ultimately, as the game transitions on and the minutes expire, there's no benefit of hindsight.
poor young man. He's just made a big error. So it wasn't what he was taken off for. But I was surprised. I understand that first game and they want to protect him a little bit, but I was surprised they took him off.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought just the benefit that you get from playing as many minutes as possible early in your career.
I think
by the time that they'd pulled him off, the game was almost over. And I think taking him off, the timing around it, I would say they'd negotiated minutes and that was the plan. I would say that was the plan going into the game. But as you said, just made a really big error to pull him off at that time. I just think confidence-wise, you dip a little bit and question the decision.
Yeah.
Not sure about
I'm
it.
Not sure if it was the plan. The thing that bemused me a little bit is that he pumped him up so much through the preseason. Mm. Like numerous times he said, Riley Sanders is the most prepared first-year player I've ever seen. If he's the most prepared first-year player you've ever seen, well, you're prepared enough to play a full game of footy. So what it does to his confidence after the error and the timing of it, who knows? But once again, it was a strange choice.
It's a sour taste on the debut because I thought he was okay. Like he wasn't shooting the lights out or anything like that. But there was plenty of players the Western Bulldogs you could have taken off before him. You, like everybody else, have got a point of view on Aaron Norton and where he plays him.
Yeah, so last week had the 6 touches, 1 mark, 1 goal. I think just with the other key forwards that they have down there, Ugelhagen's flying. He's absolutely hit his straps and is one of the best key forwards, I think, now in the game that's consistent. I just think what they're lacking down back, play around with it, throw him down back, play him at centre half back. He flies for the ball. He sees it coming in. When you're sort of out of touch as a forward, it's such a good way to look at the game a little bit differently, get a bit more confidence up and use him there. You have a huge hole you need to plug there. Throw him back there and use him.
Completely agree. Sam Darcy kicked 6 goals in the 2s last week. Okay, so you've been putting people on notice. You got the volcano. Here you put who's on notice. And I tell you what, this is who you put on notice and they're all starring.
Can I just put my first player on notice for the year? And that's Brody Grundy. Now he's got his home where he wants to be as a number one ruckman. Start playing well and start dominating games like you used to.
You're keen to put someone on notice already.
So I thought Gorn was beaten pretty well by Brody Grundy, as we've discussed, and I thought Sydney went after him. Is Max Gorn going to get through the year as a sole ruckman at Melbourne?
Okay, who am I loading up on this week?
Tim English. Yeah,
Tim English, so good luck 20 plus touches.
Good luck to you, Tim. As I said, the Gold Coast midfield is stacked. Wits is a good opponent who's in form. And toughen up. You look fatigued last week. You went forward. You missed goals. You've got to play 85% in the ruck and provide a contest that wasn't there last week.
Doesn't like the ruckman at the moment.
Richmond up against Port Adelaide, 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon at the MCG. Richmond depleted down back. I just think this is an opportunity for Port Adelaide. If you're backing Port Adelaide or you want to punt on them, it is their forwards. Charlie Dixon looked sharp last week. Todd Marshall, even Jeremy Finlayson. I think with how short Richmond are and the players they have there, these three stand out to me.
Definitely an opportunity for Port Adelaide to move the footy. That's a focus across half-back. They move it quickly. Burton, Farrell, Houston's there, and they move it with speed. And their forwards are really good at keeping separation. You're right, Dixon looks sharp. And with Richmond's undersized defence with no Gibkus, it could be a day out for someone.
And at the other end, Dustin Martin's record at the MCG, kicking goals, even though he's dropping off a little bit as age gets to him. It's extraordinary, the numbers that he puts up at the MCG. So I'd be backing Dustin Martin. And if Shea Bolton can kick straight, he should be able to kick a goal as well. Quick tip on Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide comfortably.
Port Adelaide.
Kick straight, Shea. That's my tip.
I think it'll be very, very close, but I'm going to go with Port Adelaide. West Coast up against the Giants. The Giants are now the outright favourites to win the premiership, and this looks just a bridge too far for the West Coast Eagles. Again, depleted down back, so you're going to be looking at the talls, even the smalls. I do like Brenny Daniels. I think he plays as an extra midfielder. Jesse Hogan's kicked 10 in 2 games. Margin?
Yeah, look, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a field day, really. Party for the GWS forwards, but just the amount of injuries that they have had at that football club. So we got Flynn that they bought in, does a hammy tendon. The idea with that was Bailey Williams was playing more forward. He then has to go into the ruck. Oscar Allen, the only shining light from last year, now goes down with a bone stress injury. That's going to be weeks, a number of weeks.
Elijah Hewitt's just announced that they're having surgery on him. He's one of their better young players.
Liam Ryan, Dom Sheed, like all of them. There's just, we thought it couldn't get worse than last year. It's almost started worse than last year on the injury front.
My concern there is Harley Reid, number one pick, whatever. He, within weeks, is going to be their most important player. He's going to have so much responsibility so early in his career. And I look at someone like Chris Judd, who was someone similar, and finish his career at 30, 31. I want to see Harley Reid play for close to 20 years. I don't want to see him burn out early because of all this. And I'm just hopeful that West Coast are able to protect him, his minutes, how teams come up against him, where they can position him. It'll be interesting to watch over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I said before he was drafted, he should say he doesn't want to go there. That's how strong I was, because I haven't seen a footy club in a worse position
than this. Sam McClure went with that a few times.
Yeah, he did a couple of times, but I didn't report that he was not going to go there. I just didn't think he should. So make noise is that you wouldn't go there, so that West Coast traded that pick one. A lot of clubs wanted it, and then they get more access to multiple young players, more so than one. So he's there for 3 years. You'd be surprised if he stays there much longer.
Geez, they'll back the truck up, though, to keep him. It'd be harder.
But everyone will Brownie.
And it'll turn.
The Victorian club? It may, but I don't think it's going to turn within sort of a five-year period. Can other clubs in Victoria back up the truck? Because there'll be some big offers.
Tell you what, it's turned pretty quickly for the Giants. They look like they were sliding down the ladder. And a few players, they've got some good players who are playing well, like a Jesse Hogan, like a Toby Green, who hasn't really hit his straps. But this guy, Brent Daniels, I love what he's doing. Plays as an extra midfielder. His disposal line this week is 18 and a half. His first two games at 22. And I just think it's a goal fest for the Giants this week. I think that I'm going to take him overs. I'm also going to take him for a goal. Quick tip and margin.
Giants by 10 goals.
Giants, definitely, comfortably.
Giants, 6 goals.
Yeah, I reckon somewhere around the 10 goals. I like that. So thanks for joining us. Been a big weekend of football. We'll be back next week.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.